Thank you so much for being with us. Brett Hollander here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Jimmy Mathis will take over from 9 to midnight tonight to continue our coverage of the events going on in Baltimore. But joining us right now is Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com talking about the Ravens and the 2015 NFL Draft. J-Mo, how are you?
Going very well, Brett. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. I think the Ravens feel particularly good this year, although you could probably say that at this time every year.
Yeah, I mean, I think John Harbaugh kind of played it perfectly when he said that it felt like this year that best player available in need really intersected for the Ravens. You saw that, you know, early on, you know, they didn't replace Torrey Smith, so who do they draft in the first round? The fastest wide receiver in this year's draft class. Of course, they hadn't addressed tight end in this offseason after losing Owen Daniels. So they trade up, get the best tight end in this year's draft. And then even with Haloti Ngata, they traded Haloti Ngata away. Everyone feels Timmy Jernigan is going to be the next man up there. But still, they added a run stopper, a real underrated run stopper, in the third round. So, and go in the fourth round, Za'Darius Smith, who, by all, when you talk to the Ravens, they can't help but say his name and Pernell McPhee in the same sentence almost every single time. So it really did. I think they hit their needs, and I think the only thing that you could really criticize the Ravens for is not finding a cornerback early. But I the way the board fell, and knowing the cornerback prospects that they liked, I think they would have been stretching and reaching if they took a cornerback in the first three rounds this year.
Jameson, what's a typical number of rookies, either drafted or free agent, to make a club in a given year for the Ravens, historically for them?
Yeah, I mean, over the past couple of years, every drafted player has kind of made the club. A couple of years ago, the cornerback Mark Anthony, or Tommy Streeter, guys like that, they kind of put one to the practice squad. And then even last year, you know, Keith Wenning didn't make the team, but he was on the practice squad the full season. So they try to get everybody either on the active roster or on practice squad, unless, you know, through off-season workouts and training camp, they kind of see, you know, okay, whatever we saw on tape has not projected to what we're seeing in practice. And then they'll just cut their ties with them. But when you're looking especially at the first four rounds, those guys would really have to not live up to expectations early on for the Ravens to move on. I remember, you know, John Simon kind of struggled early on in his first year, and they kept him around. But I think if you're drafting the first four rounds, they're going to find a way to either get you on this club, or if you're on this team and on the 53, you might be inactive for a lot of the year. But I think they're going to try to protect who they draft in those first four rounds.
We're talking to Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. J-Mo, looking specifically at some of these nine players, let's take out the first two picks, Breshad Perriman and Max Williams, a tight end, who seems to be kind of, at least from the national media's perspective, the steal of the draft from a Ravens point of view.
Right.
Give me a name or two in that next group. We can even take out the big defensive tackle, Carl Davis. Who stands out to you maybe even that third day on that Saturday who fans should keep an eye on over the next few months?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Boyle, the Delaware tight end, is, I think, as far as he might not be a stat sheet guy, especially rookie early on. But I think you'll see a lot of him out there, run blocking, special teams. He is, when you watch him play, he's just a brawler type of a player. And they Ravens love aggressive players. So I think they will try to find him some way out on the field. And you know, I think the one player that a lot of fans are going to be fixated on throughout the offseason, training camp, and preseason, it's going to be Darren Waller, the Georgia Tech wide receiver. I mean, he's 6'6". And with that size and the ability to stretch the field, it was just too intriguing for the Ravens to pass up. You know, we've seen some other projects late, especially wide receivers, they haven't developed. But when you look at the wide receiver group that the Ravens have, entering the draft. It was Steve Smith and a bunch of possession receivers. When you add Perryman, who has the speed, I think they were still looking for another player who could complement Joe Flacco's strong arm. And I think Waller really does. The problem with Georgia Tech receivers, when you're in that Paul Johnson offense, it's very run-oriented. You don't get many chances to catch the ball. So a lot of it is projection. But when you look at the previous three Georgia Tech receivers to get drafted, you're looking at Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson. The other one, Stephen Hill, didn't pan out with the New York Jets. But when you look at some of those players that have come out of Georgia Tech, I could see people trying to keep an eye on him. Could the Ravens, after so many years of really not hitting on receivers, could they hit on two receivers in the same draft? I guess we'll find out.
As far as what happens next for the Ravens in free agency, and there will be more players available as we move forward here. There'll be players cut, and always around training camp, the Ravens kind of look to maybe fill a spot or two. Where could they look to supplement their roster right now, Jameson?
Yeah, I think a cornerback is, and obviously there is, it's still not going to be a game-changing corner. I think it could be a very similar to the situation last year when they bring in some veterans and see just as far as have a reserve with some experience. Back there, just because you have to feel good that you're bringing back Jimmy Smith and Lardarius Webb. You have an Asa Jackson who you're hoping can develop as the nickelback, but all three players have had trouble staying healthy. So when you only draft a corner in the fourth round, you get some undrafted players who you're hoping will develop as well. But I can see the Ravens adding another mid-level corner just to help out and give some experience to when you look at a lot of the backups, when Rashawn Melvin and some of the undrafted guys, you need to have somebody that has been tested out there. I'm not sure that they're going to eventually make the club, but I think through training camp and preseason, you want to have another experienced guy that you can throw out in the secondary. Other than that, their offensive line, they're really stacked. I think wide receiver, they're very happy with now. The front seven, when you add Davis and Smith, again, very, very strong. So I think really right now the only glaring point is the secondary. I think they've done very, very well to supplement with limited cap space and a lot of draft picks. I think this team feels really good about themselves heading out of this draft.
And Jameson, take us through the next few weeks as far as off-season workouts are concerned and what is going on. I know on Friday, the rookies will actually hit the field. Take us through that and what happens after that.
Yeah, they bring in the rookies for Friday and Saturday, and this is kind of almost like college orientation. It's essentially trying to show, hey, this is the facility, this is the locker room, this is the cafeteria, here's the playbook. Let's walk you through the paces a little bit so where they'll get some kind of a little bit under their legs before all the veterans come in, because the next week you have the start of the off-season, the off-season training activities. So you don't want to throw the rookies in with a lot of the veterans who already know what's going on. So those 2 days, we'll try to get them acclimated to NFL life. And then after that, 3 weeks of OTAs. And that's when you want to start building chemistry. But because of league rules, you cannot hit. It's very, very limited contact. And so it really is kind of more mental and trying to get a feel for what they want to do offensively, defensively. Of course, this year it's going to be important more for the offense because they're installing not a totally new system, but they are still trying to find some nuances that Mark Trestman will like to put into the offense. So I think there's going to be a lot of learning going on. And then towards the end of June, you have a three-day mandatory minicamp, and that's the only 3 days this spring that every player has to attend. The Ravens generally have good attendance throughout the offseason, but those 3 days for the mandatory minicamp, that's when everybody has to be there, and that's really the final stages to kind of get players ready and let them know what they need to have done so they'll get ready for training camp, which starts at the end of July. And that's when everything ramps up right now.
It sure does. Believe it or not, we're not that far away from then, and the weather tells us that today. Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. JMO, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Have a good rest of the show, Brett.
That is Jameson Hensley. A great coverage all week and all weekend for ESPN.com. When we come back, we'll tell you the locals that have found homes who were in this draft. Some got drafted, some didn't. We'll do that. Plus my assessment of what the Ravens did this past week here on WBAL News Radio 1090.